This morning, we've come to the presence by the grace of Jesus Christ into the presence of God Himself. How great is our Heavenly Father that He would love us and give us access, that even the great apostle himself, Paul, who was quite the bulldozer in his day, the early church fathers, and he would just get whatever he wanted, and yet he writes these words tucked away in the book of Romans, where he says, when we pray, we can cry out, Abba, Father, which means Daddy, Daddy. What a Heavenly Father that allows us to call Him that today. This morning, we rejoice with Ken and Amy Nelson. We have a picture here. A couple days ago, they're definitely the youngest parent, or the earliest or newest parents. This is little Caleb Oaks Nelson. He was 8 pounds, 8 ounces, born 2 days ago. And they just rejoice in that after 25 hours of labor. Yeah. And so, dads, happy Father's Day. Isn't God good? And what a beautiful little baby. That's a miracle right there. They've been entrusted to teach that little child about love, about trust, faithfulness, how to walk, how to talk, how to know what life is. That little baby has no idea. But there's a dad and there's a mom. Thank God for dads. Thank God for our Heavenly Father who makes miracles like that happen. And the faithfulness of you dads, way to go. We're going to pray this morning and we're going to seek God's heart and thank God for certainly you dads as well. Today we honor you. The Bible says honor your mother and father and give honor where honor's due. So thanks dads for what you do. Heavenly Father, this morning we are so blessed. We thank you for the Nelsons and that beautiful miracle, little Caleb. What a life. What a world he enters into. May his mom and dad have the wisdom and the strength to know what to do. Thank you for the love that they have for them. Thank you for the love that you have. This morning, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful. Even this week when Susie Schmoody called me, she says, Pastor, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your prophecy last week, which I had no idea. I don't even know that I said it, but when I said that she was healed, I had no idea. And she called from Chicago with her rare cancer and her checkups regularly, and the doctor said, Susie, you're not here in remission anymore. We can't find any cancer in you whatsoever. Thank you, Lord. She said, Pastor, I just wanted to call and say, praise the Lord. God healed me. And the doctor says, we don't need to see you for another 6 months. She's rejoicing in you, a Heavenly Father. I don't know why you do what you do, when you do it. That's not my job. But we're here to pray for one another and leave the rest to you. And we put our hope, we put our trust, and we put our faith in you today. Because we know of all things that Christ came to redeem us. The love of God was poured out through His Son, Jesus Christ. Father, thank you today. Around this altar, we pray for every prayer that's being lifted up. People who need you today. They're here to rejoice and say thanks, and they're also here to say, help today, Father. We need you. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for your healing, for your touch, for your comforting arms around the Lydiards this week. What a celebration in that service of a man who rejoices today as we sang, Dancing with My Father God in Fields of Grace. Thank you for that, for Hugh. What a blessing he was and continues to be in his legacy as a faithful father and husband. Lord, we love you today. We pray for Spencer. We anoint him today, God, and we commission him. Father, as he goes this week to serve with other men and women in our military, keep him safe, anoint him. Surround him by your spirit of power. May your angels for him and all our men and women who serve fathers today on the front line, would you surround them by your presence? May they know today they're being prayed for. Send your angels to put a hedge around them keep them safe. Bring an end to these wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Bring our men and women home, Lord. That is our prayer. And we pray it passionately and faithfully. We always pray for those who fight for our freedom and protect us. We thank you for their courage, for their sacrifice. For our nation, we pray an outpouring of your Spirit. We need you, Father. We need you in the Gulf to help us. We need wisdom. We don't need politics and we don't need all these. We need wisdom from heaven. And we pray for those in the Gulf. God, help us to help one another, to pray for one another. We pray for this community here, for jobs and for a turnaround in this economy. For every pastor that fills a pulpit today, that opens up your word truthfully, would you bless every church in our community? May they know that they're being prayed for. There are brothers and sisters in Christ from every denomination. We love you and we thank you that we're not alone. This is so much bigger than just us. So thank you, Father. Pour out your Spirit. Revive our community. And we pray for moms and dads and homes. Today, Father, we honor the dads and we say thank you. Give them strength. Their weariless, tireless, countless hours of work. And then to come home and be expected to do that at home as well. Thank you for their faithfulness, their time. We do honor them today. It's in Jesus we pray these things. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Turn to someone and say, God is good. All the time. You can make your way back to your seats. Our ushers are going to come up. We're going to worship God through our giving. It's great to see you out this morning. Wow. What a great crowd. I thought with this weather, you'd all be at my house in my swimming pool that's 80 degrees, eating brats and hamburgers. Oh, wait, that's Joy Ministry in August. That's a good segue into make sure you join Joy. There's the different events. Watch your calendars. Also, to let you know, on your way out, dads, we have those pill bottles, take a pill. We also, Kirk Levine told me that he's got about 60 Wild at Heart books he'd like to give out to dads. So go ahead and get a hold of one of those. Also, if we have extra bottles, if your dad's not here and you'd like to get one of those and fill them up, go ahead and take a bottle. Our secretaries, our staff put those together. They made those. It's got a great verse and story on those pill bottles. I think you'll enjoy. Ushers, if you would, let's worship God through our giving. Father, thank you for the gifts in our lives. We ask that you'd bless these tithes and offerings. God, you've been so faithful to us. Would every giver know the joy in their heart of your blessing? May they know as they sow into your kingdom, let them reap that harvest. Let them see the fruit of their labor. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's going to be a little bit different. I could probably say that every Sunday. But today we're doing search for in our www.God series. Today we're going to search for fathers. Dads, I don't know, Father's Day. You've got to have some wisdom to be a dad. It takes a lot of work. I know five times over. I heard of this one minister, his son came to me and says, Dad, I got my driver's permit. I want to sit down and make arrangements with you to borrow the car whenever I want. His dad said, he's a minister, and he said, okay, son, here's the deal. We'll talk if you bring up your grades, study the Bible a little bit, and get your hair cut. So a month later, the son comes back, and he says, all right, Dad. And the dad looks and says, son, I'm proud of you. Your grades are up. You've been studying the Bible, but you didn't get your hair cut. He said, Dad, I was studying the Bible and I realized Moses had long hair. Gideon had long hair. Samson had long hair. Even Jesus had long hair. So, Dad, I'm not getting my hair cut. And the dad, with all the wisdom a father has, looked at him and says, yep. And they walked everywhere they went to. Gotta love those dads. Takes a lot of wisdom to be a dad. I have to say, dads, it's not Mother's Day. You know, Mother's Day, third most popular day in church. Next to Easter and Christmas, it's packed out. Moms, there's not a time that there's a greater honoring than Mother's Day. Flowers, we gave out roses. Moms get all the blessings. I mean, mom gets everything. Poor dads. I'm sorry, dad, you get the bad rap. It's just the way it is. You know, when the kids call home, hey, I want to talk to mom. You know, mom talks for about an hour, and then she's like, you want to talk to your dad? Oh, no, that's okay. Just tell him hi. You know how it is. I mean, you see these sports figures. I mean, they score a touchdown. They come around with the football. The camera hits that young millionaire football player, and he turns to the camera and says, mom, you're number one. And dad's sitting there going, really? What am I, number two? Chop liver. Who played catch? Who played paintball? Who is out there in those forts and those camping trips and those fishing trips? Maybe some of you was, mom. But most time, poor dads. Dads get the bad raps. In fact, I looked up sermon after sermon over the last 2 weeks as I was studying, looking for what to say to dads. Every sermon I looked at was negative. It was beating up dads. And I thought, these guys get to church and you really said this? Things like this. Dad, you need to step up to the plate. Dad, you need to be a part of the kid. You need to put the remote control down and go out in the yard and play with your kids. Dad, you only spend 5 minutes a week significantly talking and having conversation with your children. 5 minutes a week, the average dad. And on these stories. And I'm reading these things going, really? 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 Dads are here at church. And I want to say to you, dads, way to go. Good job, dads. Because not only were you there, but you were there. You were all about your kids' lives. You worked hard. You toiled. And what a thankless job sometimes it is to be a dad. My son in Afghanistan, he calls home for Mother's Day. Hi, Mom. What a great surprise. The middle of a war, calling home to say hi to Mom. I'm waiting for my phone call today. No, I don't want a phone call. I want to send piece by piece. I'd like a tank. Just start sending piece by piece. It's Father's Day. You know, dads, it's not the same. And we determine, it's that, you know, every boy is a mama's boy. Every boy is a mama's boy. It's true. They'll come running home to mom pretty quick. But dad, and it might have, maybe dad, it's partly our fault. I mean, when you think about it, dads, I mean, all of those great quotes that we are leaving to our children, that our dads gave us and their dads gave them, and they don't seem to die, maybe that's why they call mom. You know those sayings like, you're going to sit there until you eat your whole dinner. I don't care if you sit there all night. I remember eating peas till 11 o'clock in the night thinking, it's green. Nothing good is green. And he'd say, I don't care how long you sit there, you're going to sit there. And I'll tell you, my dog wouldn't eat them under the table. Why would I eat them on top of the table? But dads, or how about this? When I say no, I mean no. Why? Because that's why. That's your answer? Oh yeah, and that's been passed on. I love this. If you don't stop crying, I'll give you. Now that's one we could have let die a long time ago. But you all know it. And who started this? Was it Adam? Moses? I don't know, but it's two wrongs don't make a right, but you better shape up or... Really? Is that just in the dad manual? So when you don't get a phone call today, dads, you'll know why, because I'm spanking you because I love you. This hurts me. That has got to be the biggest fable you've ever told your kids. Really? Okay, Dad, give me the belt and bend over. We're going to wind up and I'm going to love every minute of this. That's just not true. And you wonder why they didn't call or send a card. Mom's over there going, don't do it. That's why they're calling Mom. Although not in my house. Mama can swing that belt. It's not just the kids. All right, let's move on. I'm in trouble when I get home. It's Father's Day. You know what? It's the one day of the year, Dad, you get to do whatever you want. As long as Mom says so. Uh-oh. I told that to my wife. And I woke up and I said, it's Father's Day, 24 hours. I get to do whatever I want. And she said, no, you don't. Please. It's my way or the... What's so funny? Wipe that smile off your face. What is that? They're smiling, Dad. Okay, this is your last warning. I'll turn this car around. Where did we get that from? And will he really turn the car around? I'm not going to find out. Because Dad could drive and swing at the same time. I love this one, and I think this is one that's a good one. Don't ask me. Go ask your mother. That's a good one. Do what I say, not what I do. And then the timeless classic, the one on the top of the trophy case. When I was your age. You wonder why they call Mom? Well, look what we've done to them. Well, today, call your dad and thank him for a few things. Today, when you get him on the phone or when you get home or you go out to lunch, thank God or thank Dad for those moments, those annoying phrases that you caught yourself using. Thanks, Dad. Or thank him for teaching you the importance of quiet time at Monday Night Football. Or uncovering the little-known fact that there is no need for a laundry basket. The floor will do just fine. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Dad, for proving that grunting and mumbling are acceptable forms of communication. And no, that wasn't an elephant under the chair. I'll stop right there. Thank your dad for using the first car he bought you for $350 as a lesson in humility. Go ahead and call your dad and thank him for encouraging your own ingenuity by throwing away the instructions while saying, we don't need these. Thanks, Dad. Thank your dad for those embarrassing moments when he ran around in your house, when your friends were over and he was in his boxers. Thanks, Dad. Thank your dad for teaching you that the only tools that you need in life are duct tape and a Leatherman. Thanks, Dad. Dads. Way to go, fathers. We have a story here about dads. It's a great story. It's usually focused on the son, but today I want to talk about the father. This father in this story represents God himself. Jesus is telling it. And the two boys represent us. There's the good boy and there's the bad boy. And I don't know if you have that in your home, the black sheep of the family. You have the Cain and the Abel. You have the one that you just love and the one you want to just get rid of? Well, I wasn't going to say, okay, then we'll just go with that audience. Let me give you four things as a father that God wants to teach us. Hey, when we search for fathers, here's four beautiful things, dads, I want to give to you. I'm not here to beat up on you. I'm here to say way to go. The first one is merciful. Mercy. The definition of mercy is this: getting what you don't deserve. In this story, we have the prodigal son who goes to his dad and says, Dad, I want my inheritance right now. Now, if your kids came to you and said, Dad, I want some money, you're probably just going to laugh at him, show him your empty checkbook and say, see you later. Or are you going to say, you know what, I'll give you half of everything I have. Go ahead and squander it. Do whatever you're going to do. I don't know what you'd do if your kids came and said, I'd like my money. It's not what's happening in the Bible here. If you read this and understand the culture, this son coming to his dad, who's alive, is saying this, Dad, I know you're alive, but understanding in the Jewish tradition of this, when he says, I want my inheritance, he's saying, and you should mark this in a margin, he's saying, Dad, I wish you were dead. That's how you get your inheritance. That's the translation. And his dad looks at him and he could... I'll tell you, you know what the son deserved? He deserved a size 12 in his rear end. Okay? Can I say that from the pulpit? Yes, you did. Yes. What he deserved... I mean, for a son to come to you in anger or whatever the reason is, to come and say, I hate you so much, I just wish you were dead. I'm telling you what, that kid's getting booed all the way down the street. You go find a better deal then. That's not this father. Now, a lot of people say, well, that's cruel. Well, what's cruel? I wish you were dead or the boot, the size 12. This father reacts in a way that doesn't make any sense. He says, you know what, son? You wish I was dead? Fine. Here you go. Here's your inheritance. Here's half of all of my wealth. I love you. Wait a minute. Give me that one more time. Here's half of everything I have. I love you. I'm sorry. I missed the story here when the dad says, I'm going to show you the backside of this belt. You want me dead? You're my son. The father does something interesting here. He shows mercy. And what God is trying to say to us today is this. How many of you are thankful that God Himself, the Heavenly Father, doesn't give us what we deserve? If you're excited about that, just say amen. I'm excited that God doesn't give me what I deserve. There are times in my life and I just look at God and say, God, why don't you just give me this stuff and I could care less about who you are. Bless me, but I could care less about blessing you. And God says, you know what you deserve for that? I'm going to bless you. And I'm amazed at God's goodness. The Bible says it is His goodness that leads us to repentance, O Lord. That blows my mind. What a merciful God that we serve. What a wonderful Heavenly Father. It makes no sense to me. And yet this Father, in all of His wisdom, knows this. If my son is going to learn anything in life, he's going to have to walk through it. And as a father, I need to know when to back up and allow this to happen. And what a merciful Father. Sometimes we stop our children from going through life lessons that are going to make them stronger. And we make them weaker because we're afraid for them. Do you know that you ought to let your kids get tough enough? It's okay to get dirty once in a while. It's okay for them to fall in the mud. It's okay for them to climb the tree. It's okay for them to go through life lessons. We have to have the innate wisdom to know when we have to step in and say, no, that's one I'm not going to. But sometimes we stop God's lessons from happening. And He steps back and He says, here's my mercy. I'm not going to give you what you deserve. I'm going to give you my love. That's an amazing lesson. I thank God that He doesn't give me what I deserve. He gives me what He has. And it's interesting in your scripture, most people don't realize this. Do you know the father gave the other son his inheritance at the same time? He didn't ask for it. He got blessed. He didn't ask for it. He wasn't jumping up and down saying, me too. The father, it says in verse 12, he divided up the inheritance between the two sons. And here's what I've learned. I've learned that God reigns on the just and the unjust. God loves you even in your unrighteousness. God wants to do things in your life. God desires. Sometimes we miss this thing and say, I've done so bad that God's just going to destroy me. He disciplines those He loves. Absolutely. He disciplines. But it's His goodness that leads us to Him. He wants to show us His love and goodness and His grace. Sometimes we come in with 2x4s and just beat up on the choir. Can I tell you, choir? Listen, this morning, dads, I want to say, way to go. Hang in there. No, none of us were perfect fathers. None of us got it right all the time. Our dads may not have got it right half the time. In fact, my dad, when I was 14 years old, I thought to myself, I will never do what my dad has done. How many of you have ever said that? Boy, you don't get it, Dad. You're not very smart. Curfew? Why do I have a curfew? Why are you telling me that, Dad? When I have kids, I'm going to let them stay up as late as they want. Peas and spinach? Are you kidding? When I have kids, I'm going to let them eat whatever they want, whenever they want. When I have kids, I'm going to give them whatever they want. I'll buy them whatever they want when I have kids. I'm going to be a great dad. Dad, you don't know anything. If you just give me, give me, give me, this will be a happy relationship. I'm going to quote to you Mark Twain. I love what he said at the age of 14. Mark Twain wrote this, and he said, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years. Listen to this quote, and it's anonymous. By the time a man realizes that maybe his father was right, he usually has a son that thinks he's wrong. It's interesting how we grow into understanding. Dads, way to go. I just have to say, you do a great job. I mean, you put up with so much stuff, and your mercy is incredible. Today, 100 years later, after, by the way, Father's Day was started in 1909, a young lady by the name of Mrs. John B. Dodd of the state of Washington, she wanted to do something to honor her dad. Her dad William Smart. He was a Civil War veteran, fought in our Civil War. And he was widowed when his wife died in childbirth with their sixth child. Mr. Smart was left to raise the newborn and his five children by himself on a rural farm in eastern Washington State. It was after Mrs. Dodd became an adult that she realized the strength and selflessness her father had shown in raising his children as a single parent. The first Father's Day was observed on June 19th in 1910 in Spokane, Washington. At about the same time in various towns and cities, other people began to celebrate. Finally, in 1924, President Calvin Coolidge supported the idea of a National Father's Day. In 1966, Lyndon Johnson signed a declaration, a presidential declaration, saying that the third Sunday in June would be observed as a national holiday, saying, "Way to go, dads. Good job, fathers." Today, 100 years later, it's a little bit different, almost 100 years later. There are more collect phone calls on Father's Day than any other time of the year. An estimated $1 billion will be spent this day in the United States of America for this Father's Day. And Dad, because it's a collect call, you're still paying the bills. Happy Father's Day. Dad, how long do you want to talk? Well, how much is this costing me? Happy Father's Day. Mercy. This father was so merciful. He just loved up on his sons. He said, "You know what? I know you don't deserve it, but I'm the father. Regardless what the son does, I'm the father." And that takes us to the second thing. There's four beautiful things here. The second one is this. The second one is faithful. Regardless of what the son did, I love this. Look at what your Bible says in verse 17. This is a beautiful verse. In 17, it says, "When he came to his senses," say that with me, "he came to his senses." He came to his senses. Turn to someone and say, "Come to your senses." Do you know how hard that is? What does that mean, come to your senses? James Dobson, in his book, Fatherhood, writes that a young man shouldn't have a driver's license until he's 25. You know why it is? They did some medical research. And your frontal lobe, gentlemen, doesn't fully mature until you're 25. And that part of the brain is what's called the adventure part of the brain, or called the wild child. I don't know what you want to call it. But it's the part of the brain that causes you to do things that are high risk taking. Isn't that interesting? The average age of a military soldier is 20 and a half years of age. Guys are jumping out of airplanes and doing that kind of stuff. Well, when I was younger, I thought that would be really neat. Now I'm thinking, I don't even want to jump off the couch. They said that part doesn't fully mature until the age of 25. And that's why, young men, your car insurance is much higher. Because you want to know what 0 to 110 is on Pine Grove. And the rest of us just want to know when you're on the road. It says... that in verse 17, when he came to his senses, something sprung in that brain. And it said this, he said this, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? Here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned.'" Here's what he does. He's planning this out. I don't know if he means it. He says, "Okay, I'm going to do this. When I get home, I'm going to say, 'Father, I'm sorry. No, Father, you're the greatest. Dad, have you been working out? Have you lost weight?' No, Dad." And he's walking through this and he says, "I'll say to him," so he's thought this out, "'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.'" You know what he's doing? He's been disowned. He has been kicked out. A young man in this time, to do what he's done, he is no longer a family member. His dad could have said, "Not within 10 miles of this property. If anybody sees him, kill him." He could have done that. Very common during this time. And he says, "I'm going to go back and say I'm sorry." The son says, "Father, I've sinned against you, but I'm no longer worthy." Listen, regardless of what the son has done, the father is faithful. He said, "I'm still his father." Guys, that's important. Many of you have gone through situations where as sons you might have rebelled. Maybe you didn't have a father that was right or rightly there, or you've done something. Can I tell you something? Regardless of what's happened, as fathers, I have five children. If they turn and say, "Dad, I wish you were dead. You're the meanest man in the world. I hate you." I don't know if you've ever had your door slammed in your face in your daughter's room or your son's room. Or, "You're the worst dad in the world. How could you do this to me?" Listen, regardless of what's happened, I am a father and I should always be a father, regardless of the son. You know what that does? I don't know why he keeps doing it. No matter what I do wrong, he's always been my father. And he's never turned his back on me. He's showing himself as a heavenly father that no matter what you've done as a son or a daughter, he will always be your father in heaven. That's good news today. That's the price of admission. That's worth going to lunch for and taking the pastor out. I'm just kidding. He maintains his fatherhood. You know what the Bible says? Dads, you say to your children, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am your father." And let your children know, "I don't agree with what you're doing, and I won't accept that under my roof. But know this, I will always love you. I am your father, and that will never change." God help us when we forget the day that we are to be faithful as fathers. I was listening to the radio last night coming back from Detroit. I am not kidding you. I can't make this stuff up. I said, "Thank you, Jesus. How in the world can this be true?" We're coming home. My wife said, "Shut it off." I said, "I can't shut it off." And the guy's like, "Shout out to baby daddy, Mac daddy, baby face, baby bottle, baby this, baby that. Thank you, CJ. AJ, RJ, TJ." Says, you're all fathers. Happy Father's Day, happy Father's Day, happy Father's Day, happy Father's Day. And then they said three things. "You know you're a good daddy if you go see your kids at least 3 days a week." And I said, "What?" And this was serious. This was a major radio station in Detroit. Their DJ's going on and on. And these shout-outs. "To see your kids 3 days a week." And the other one says, "And that's right, you single ladies, you can't be a good daddy." I'm thinking, are we listening to, is this serious? And then they said, "Everybody, go ahead and say it out there listening. Go ahead," and I had to write this down. I couldn't believe it. They said, hate friend of the court. Everybody say it with me. "We hate friend of the court making us play alimony." Say it. "Hate friend of the court. You're a good daddy if you say hate friend of the court." I'm listening to this thinking, no, I'm a father. I will stand in the gap no matter what my children do. I'm a father. I've learned that from my heavenly father who's never turned. 28 years ago, I met him. I was adopted into his family. The Bible says to all who received him, to those who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God, John 1:12. Children not born of a human decision nor of a husband's will, but born of Jesus Christ. 28 years ago, I became a child of God. My heavenly father became my daddy. We became very intimate. I've been getting to know him for 28 years. He's never turned his back on me. He will always be my father. I have been faithless. He has been faithful. I have fallen. He has picked me up. He watches over me because he's my heavenly father. That's who God is. Dads, we need to catch a hold of this. So I hear that on the way home. And then last night as I was turning in to read my notes, my wife's watching 2020. Maybe you caught this. And this explains this whole thing about faithfulness. Because there are some people that go, "I don't have a father anymore." Can I tell you, God is the father of the fatherless. And he calls us men, grandfathers. You are the father to the children of this youth center. You are the children of our children's ministry. You are the father. You are to be the father figure to kids in your neighborhood and those in your family. It's not just uncle and cousin. You are to be a father figure. We're watching this show last night, and this gentleman at the age of 43, a couple years ago, contracted one of the rarest forms of cancer. He has these two absolute beautiful little girls. I'm watching this, and I said, "What's going on?" I got caught up into the story. She says, "We have to finish this." I said, what is this? And she said, "This guy is dying of cancer, and he's concerned about his two little girls and not having a father." And so he went to his best friend from college. He went to his best friend in high school that he grew up with in his small town. He went to his buddies that live in the neighborhood that they've gotten to know. Five guys he invited in to be a council of fathers to his two little girls. One of them is a sense of adventure. He's kind of the adventure dad, they call him. That's adventure dad. He goes to China, travels all over the world, and teaches those girls all about the world and the awesomeness of what this world has. And that sense of that the dad has in his adventure. Your daddy was like this, and she's to teach this. The other one's known as tractor dad. Tractor dad is from the hometown, and he's to teach those girls as they grow up all about their daddy and where he grew up and all about his life. He's tractor dad. There's poet dad. And these five guys, well, something amazing happened. They, through incredible chemotherapy over the last 2 years, they end up removing his femur and replacing it with a titanium plate. He is cancer-free. What's amazing about this story is not that he's just necessarily cancer-free, but these five men he brought into his children's life as council of fathers, these five men were there at their daughter's birthday and they showed it. And there they were singing happy birthday, adventure dad and tractor dad and poet dad and all these guys. And they said, these guys are such a part, this will never end regardless of what happens now. These guys are a part of these little girls' lives. It has transformed their family. And these dads, they talked to them and they said, all of our families are now different because we've done this in our own homes. Isn't it amazing that God says the Scripture, He is the Father to the fatherless. Faithful, guys. God's called me to be a father figure. You too. It's interesting that they call the priest or the pastor in some churches father. Why? Because he's to be a figure to represent God's love to his children. Isn't that all of us? Aren't we all to be that in the world? Faithful. Let us be faithful. And when you think about that, some of you are going in your mind, what a great concept. I'll bet there's someone I can speak into their life. Grandparents, I got to say, way to go, grandfathers, Father's Day today. God bless you too. The third one's not going to make much sense to you when I first say this, but follow me. Merciful Father, He's a faithful Father, and we ought to learn from Him this. He's a beautiful Father. Beautiful. That's not a word you use for dads. If I went up and I said, hey, I just want to say, brother, you're beautiful. Yeah, you already heard the snickering. See, there's certain things you just don't say to a guy. You don't walk up to a guy and you say, you know, for a man, you're awful pretty. Now, why are you laughing? Because you don't hear guys say that. I mean, you're walking through the mall and you go, dude, you look beautiful today. Someone's going to look at it and go, dudes? You look beautiful. It's not a word. It's feminine in gender. And I want to tell you why we ought to be beautiful fathers. Because something happens in the story that you will not find anywhere in the entire Bible. From the beginning of time all the way through Revelation. The Bible says in verse 20, and the dad saw the kid from a distance and he ran to him. While he was still a long way off, the father was filled with compassion. He ran. I thought about grabbing some of these videos where these soldiers come home on surprise leaves and they go to their kids' school. Those kids don't even know it. They turn. And their dads run to the kids. And the kids are just done. I'm done. I watch those things and think, if that's not the most beautiful thing you've ever seen, a father running to his son. You will not find that anywhere in Scripture. And my God said, when you're in trouble, I will run to you. In the worst moment of your life, at the end of your rope, in the middle of pig slop, starving, God ran. You don't deserve it. I know, that's mercy. Why would I run? Because I'm faithful. It's who I am. Dads, run to your kids. Run to your kids. In 1989, you remember this on the news? Did you see this? Armenia had an earthquake. Do you remember that? I mean, you may not remember it. There's so many anymore. 8.2 on the Richter scale. It leveled that small country. 8.2. There was a father who survived it. Many survived in this big city, but everything was leveled. And they, all the parents, it was during the daytime, the kids were in school. And he ran block after block around stones and smashed cars to get to this school to find his son. As he got to the school, this is a true story, incredible story. The dad got there and he started pulling the rubble off, and a lot of the parents that were there crying out, "My son, my daughter, they're dead." It was a pancake. That school, multi-size cement building, had leveled down to flat. And he's in there pulling rubble. And the parents are trying to say, "You're in shock. Come here, come here." He says, "Are you going to help me dig?" "No, no, no, no." Then he started digging. The police came. And they were trying to secure the area. And they said, "Sir, you got to come with us. You're in shock." He says, "Are you going to help me dig?" "No, no, sir, you got to step back. It's not safe." And he kept digging. The paramedics came and they were helping the injured. And they saw him digging there. And they said, "You got to go over and help this guy." And he's digging and he's digging and he's digging. And as he's digging through this stuff, he's removing this rubble. The police had come and said, "You're angry, distraught. It's over. You're endangering others. Go home. We'll handle it." The man said, "Are you going to help me now?" No one helped. Courageously, he proceeded because he needed to know for himself. 12 hours, 24 hours, 36 hours, this man dug with his bare hands in this rubble. 36 hours, this father looked for his son. And on the 38th hour, he removed a big stone. As he removed it, he heard a voice say, "Dad, is that you?" And the dad cried, "Armando, Dad, it's you. I knew you'd come for me. You always said you'd come for me." You see, when it collapsed, two big pieces of rubble had made an A-frame, and there were 30-something children in that frame. And he kept telling them, "My dad's coming for us. It's going to be okay." And when he reached in, he said, "Armand, take my hand." And Armand said, "No, Dad. Here, let's help the other kids out. I know you're here. I knew you'd come for me. I'll be here." And he rescued all those kids. You see, when the world collapses, know this. The Bible says God ran. Because God always runs. And no matter what you've done and no matter what you're going through, I want you to be assured of this on this Father's Day. Dads, let us learn this lesson. We should always run for our children. We should always be like the Heavenly Father who says, "No matter what you're going through, I am faithful. I will always remain faithful. No matter what you've done, I'm merciful. I will give you what you don't deserve. And no matter what's going on in your life, I'm beautiful." There's nothing more beautiful than seeing a father running across a field and grabbing his son. It is the most beautiful picture. You see, you expect moms to do it. Because moms have that compassion, that soft, tender heart. But to see a warrior do it, a man get down on his knees and take his son into his arms, that's beautiful. And God wants us men to be beautiful. And then the last one is this. In the story, you know, you can't have a good story without a twist. Look at the son. In verse 28, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. I don't know if you have kids like this. They see something happen with one of your kids, and they're like, "How come so-and-so always gets this? What about me? Well, what about you? Aren't you loved?" And the son becomes angry and won't go in. And the dad comes out and says, "What are you doing?" The older brother, but he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving." He doesn't say working, living. "I'm slaving for you, Dad. And you never disobeyed. And I've never disobeyed an order. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. Yet, the Bible says, but when this son of yours," I like that, "not my, not when my brother came home," oh, he doesn't say that, "when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes came home, you kill a fatted calf for him. How dare you? I love the dad's answer. My son, the father said, you were always with me. And if you could, would you circle this word right here in your Bible? And everything I have is yours. Do you know that everything God has is yours? Why are we looking? Well, I don't have a Ferrari. God, I've been a Christian 28 years. I've been preaching for 20 years. Why don't I have $1 million? Why don't I have all my health? Why don't I have? We start looking at what others have instead of what we have. Thank you, God, for my family. Thank you, God, for my beautiful, beautiful children. Thank you, God, for a loving wife. God, I thank you this morning. I woke up and I had a shower. God, I thank you. And you thank God for that too, I know. I'll get there before you tell someone. Thank you, God. I woke up this morning, I looked in my refrigerator, and there was food in a cold refrigerator this morning. Thank you, God, that I got up and went out to a car that I could drive to church. Thank you, God, for these people that are here this morning. What a beautiful group of a church, a family, a people of God, friends, people who will pray with me, that love me, that love you together. Thank you, God, for what I have. It's not easy, but thank you. And God says, Mitch, everything I have is yours. Do you want it now or in 25, 35, 40 years? Can I have it later? Yeah, I've got a new heaven and a new earth. I've got a Gulf of Mexico without oil in it. I've got an economy without debt. I've got hospitals with no patients. I've got a sunshine with no batteries. I've got a beautiful day without sunburns. I've got a heaven and an earth. Everything is yours. What do you want? I want it now. Or now. It's all yours anyway. If you have the Son, you have everything the Father has. Jesus Christ has given us everything this morning. There was a gentleman, pretty rich fella. His son went into the army, went to Iraq. And when he went to Iraq, he was quite a warrior. And one day, the knock came at the father's door. He opened the door, and there stood a young, handsome man dressed in his full dress uniform. And he had a little picture with him. He said, sir, are you so-and-so? He said, yes, I am. He said, I served with your son. Your son saved my life, but lost his. In fact, he saved several of us. And was shot as he was carrying one of us off the field of battle. I'm sorry for your loss. I'm an artist and I had to come by because your son meant so much to me. I painted a picture of your son and I'd like to give it to you. The man was quite wealthy. He said, thank you. He invited the boy in. They talked for quite some time and he left. And the old man took that picture of his son and he framed it. And in this man's house were Rembrandts and Van Goghs and Monets, some of the greatest paintings in the world. This man's quite wealthy. He took his son's picture and he put its centerpiece over his mantle. That was his son. When he died, 2 years later, this old gentleman, he left in his will that he would auction his prized possessions off. People showed up for the auction. The auctioneer got up. He said, let's start the bidding with this item. And he brought out the first painting, which was his son's picture. He said, who'll give me 100? Who'll give me 2? Who'll give me 200? Who'll give me 3? No one said a word. The crowd completely said, let's get on with some good stuff. Nobody was bidding. They said, can we get to the Rembrandts? Can we get to the Van Goghs? And the auctioneer said, who'll give me 100? Who'll give me 2? Finally, someone said, fine, I'll give you $10. Someone in the audience, and I hear someone shared with me at a first service, I hadn't heard this, but it was actually the gardener who finally said, I'll give you $10 for that painting. I got 10, do I got 20? I have 10, 20, and someone just screamed out, just give it to him for $10. Let's move on. Sold, $10. His son's painting had sold for $10. The auctioneer slammed the gavel down and said, "That's the end of our auction. Thanks for coming." The crowd became very angry. He said, "What?" He said, "There was a secret stipulation in the will that I wasn't supposed to reveal until now. You see, I was to auction off this painting, and whatever happened, whoever bought this painting automatically got all the other paintings." And he said, "Whoever got the son got all that the father had. You see, whoever gets the son gets everything. Whoever gets the son gets everything." That's beautiful, but it's also graceful. God's grace is so good. God wants to do this in our lives. I want to close and show you a short video about this whole story told in our day. And I think this will sum it. I want you to just examine your hearts. Dads, I say, way to go. And the father ran. I hope you find the beauty in having a heavenly father. He is the father to the fatherless this morning. And I pray that we would honor him and honor all of our fathers, regardless of the situation, those who have gone on already before us, those who are around. When you think about it, today, take a moment, make a collect phone call to your dad and say thanks. Heavenly Father, as we go from this place, let our benediction be rich and true. May we honor those who have poured into our lives. And most of all, may we honor you with our lives. Thank you for running to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, because he who has the Son has life. In Jesus' name, and all said, amen. God bless you. Have a great and wonderful week. Don't forget your books and your bottles.